Battle for the Body, Chapter 1, Kingdoms in Conflict. Healing Promise to Claim. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all these statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Introduction. There is a great war being waged in the world today. It is not a conflict between nations, tribes, or government leaders. It is not a rebellion or a coup. It is an invisible battle taking place in the spirit world. This chapter introduces the invisible war in which every believer is engaged. It is a war where no one wears a uniform, but where everyone is a target. The historical and prophetical record of this war is contained in God's Word, the Bible. The natural and spiritual realms. To understand this invisible war, you must first understand the natural and spiritual worlds. Man exists in two worlds, the natural world and the spiritual world. The natural world is that which can be seen, felt, touched, heard, or tasted. It is tangible and visible. The country, nation, city, or village in which you live is part of the natural world. You are a resident in a natural kingdom located on one of the visible continents of the world. You can see the people who are part of your environment. You can communicate with them. You can experience the sights, sounds, and smells around you. But there is another world in which you live. That world is a spiritual world. You cannot see it with your physical eyes, but it is just as real as the natural world in which you live. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40, Paul speaks of this division of natural and spiritual. He says there is a natural or terrestrial body, and there is a spiritual or celestial body. All men have a natural body which lives in the natural world, but man is also a spiritual being with an eternal soul and spirit. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Your spiritual being, soul, and spirit is part of a spiritual world, just as your natural body is part of the natural world. Spiritual discernment. Because spiritual warfare is just that, spiritual, it must be understood with a spiritual mind. In our natural sinful state, we cannot understand spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It is necessary to use spiritual discernment to understand spiritual things. Perhaps one of the best examples of natural and spiritual discernment is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6. It is the story of a natural battle in which troops of the enemy nation of Syria had surrounded a small town called Dothan, where the prophet Elisha was staying. When Elisha's servant, Gehazi, saw the great host of the enemy, he became fearful. Elisha prayed that God would open Gehazi's spiritual eyes so he could see the angelic hosts surrounding and protecting them. On this occasion, God actually opened Gehazi's natural eyes and allowed him to visibly see the superior forces of God aligned for battle. The story of this battle at Dothan is similar to present spiritual conditions in the church. There are some, like Elisha, who see clearly into the realm of the Spirit. They know there is a conflict occurring, have identified the enemy, and recognize the greater forces of God that assure victory. There are others like Gehazi who, with a little encouragement, will be able to open their spiritual eyes and no longer be fearful of and defeated by the enemy. But sadly, there are many people who, like those in the city of Dothan, are spiritually sleeping. They do not even know that the enemy has surrounded them and is poised for attack. Two spiritual kingdoms. Within the natural and spiritual realms of which we are speaking, there exists separate kingdoms which are ruled by natural and spiritual leaders. Natural kingdoms. All men live in a natural kingdom of this world. They live in a city or village which is part of a nation. That nation is a kingdom of the world. A natural kingdom is a territory or people over which an actual king or political leader is the sovereign ruler. The Bible speaks of these natural kingdoms as kingdoms of the world. The kingdoms of the world have come under the power and influence of Satan. Again, the devil taketh him, Jesus, up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. John chapter 5, verse 19, sadly reminds us that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Spiritual kingdoms. In addition to the natural kingdoms of this world, there are two spiritual kingdoms, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. Every person alive is a resident of one of these two kingdoms. The kingdom of Satan consists of Satan, spiritual beings called demons, and all men who live in sin and rebellion to God's word. These, plus the world and the flesh, are the spiritual forces of evil at work in the world today. The kingdom of God consists of God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, spiritual beings called angels, and all men who live in righteous obedience to God's word. These are the spiritual forces of good. The kingdom of God is not a denomination. Denominations are man-made organizations of groups of churches. They have been established for practical purposes of organization and administration. Denominations are major church organizations like Baptist, Assembly of God, Methodist, Lutheran, etc. The Bible speaks of the true church, which is not a denomination or a religious organization. The true church is composed of all those who have become residents of the kingdom of God. At the present time in the natural world, the kingdom of God exists individually within every man, woman, boy, or girl who has made Jesus king of their lives. It exists communally in the true church, and wherever people make this world the kind of world God wants it to be. In the future, there will be an actual visible manifestation of God's kingdom. The invisible war. The invisible spiritual war is a battle which involves all men and women. Because the kingdom of Satan is a spiritual kingdom, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Spiritual warfare is not a natural battle between flesh and blood. It is not a battle of man against man. It is not a visible battle. It is an invisible struggle in the spirit world. It is a battle within and around man. It is not a visible war because spirits are involved. And we learn in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, that the spirit does not have flesh and bones. Spiritual warfare is multidimensional, which means it is fought in different dimensions. It is 1. A social battle between the believer and the world. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 27. 2. A personal battle between the flesh and the spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. 3. A supernatural battle between the believer and evil supernatural powers. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 27. 4. A physical battle with Satan launching attacks of sickness against your body. Job chapters 1 to 2. Every person alive is engaged in this battle, whether he realizes it or not. There is no neutral ground. Unbelievers are in bondage to evil, and have been taken captive by the enemy forces. They are victims of the war. Believers have been freed from the enemy through Jesus Christ and are victors, but they are still engaged as soldiers in the war. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 indicates that we, all believers, wrestle against evil spiritual forces. Wrestling involves close personal contact. No one is exempt from this battle. No one can view it from a distance. You are in the midst of conflict, whether you acknowledge it or not. If you believe it will get better, you are wrong. The Christian warfare never ceases. Where the battle rages. This invisible war is being waged on earth. The thief, Satan, cometh on earth, not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. Satan fights to maintain control of the kingdoms of the world. He does not want them to come under God's authority. The battle also rages within the hearts, minds, and souls of men and women. Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers and attacks believers in the areas of worship, the word, their daily walk, and their work for God. The battle also rages in your physical body, which Satan attacks through sickness and disease. How the battle started. The invisible war started in heaven with an angel named Lucifer, who was originally a beautiful angel created by God and part of the kingdom of God. Lucifer decided he wanted to take over God's kingdom. You can read about his rebellion in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 17, and Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 through 19. A group of angels joined Lucifer, now called Satan, in this rebellion. Lucifer and the rebellious angels were cast out of heaven by God. They formed their own kingdom on earth. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, or Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Lucifer became known as Satan, and the angels which followed him in rebellion as demons. Demon spirits can enter, torment, control, and use humans who belong to Satan's kingdom. They motivate evil acts which are done by men and women. Satan directs his demons in their evil activities. He combines these powerful forces with the world and the flesh to war against all mankind. Reasons behind the conflict. Man was originally created in the image of God and for the glory of God, Genesis chapter 2. The invisible war against man started with the first temptation in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, where Satan tempted Adam and Eve to sin. This resulted in all men inheriting the basic sin nature and committing individual acts of sin due to this nature. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It also resulted in the invisible war between man and the forces of evil. And I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, mankind, and between thy seed, the forces of evil, and her seed, the forces of good represented by the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Because of sin, man was separated from God and condemned to death. This death was the spiritual death of separation from God. It was also physical death. For when man sinned, Satan entered into the genetic system with the curses of sickness and disease. But God loved man so much that he made a special plan to save him from sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Through belief in Jesus, confession, and repentance from sin, men and women can be released from the power of the enemy. The death and resurrection of Jesus not only resulted in salvation from sin, it also defeated the enemy Satan. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. But if Satan is defeated, why does the war still rage? Why do we still see evil in the world around us? Why are we tempted by sin and attacked by sickness? In the natural world, following any war, there are always pockets of enemy resistance. These are rebellious troops that will not give up until forced to do so. Although Jesus defeated Satan, we are living in territory which is still occupied by enemy resistance forces. Understanding spiritual warfare strategies gives us the ability to deal with these evil powers. Satan is trying to keep men captive in sin. Through deceptive methods, he is enticing men and women to sinful living. He aims for the affections of the soul and spirit which rightfully belong to God. He also targets the body to destroy it with sickness and disease. The thief, Satan, cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. Satan still wants to be the supreme ruler. He is waging an intense battle for the body, soul, and spirit of man. His strategies are directed at God, his plan, and his people. The meaning of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is the analysis of and an active participation in the invisible spiritual war. It includes study of the opposing forces of good and evil, the strategies of Satan, and spiritual strategies for overcoming the enemy. Spiritual warfare is more than a mere analysis of spiritual principles. It includes active participation in warfare by application of these strategies in life and ministry. One of the most effective strategies of Satan is to keep believers ignorant of his devices. Paul said it is important to know Satan's strategies, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. We should learn all we can about Satan's strategies of attack. We must also understand the scriptural basis of victory over Satan and the forces of evil. We are called to intelligent combat. Basic to the understanding of spiritual warfare is this key principle. You must recognize that all battles of life, whether physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, financial, or with human personalities, are only outward manifestations of a spiritual cause. Although in the natural world problems may seem to occur through the circumstances of life, the basis of these natural battles is in the spirit world. Read the story of Job, which confirms this principle. Job chapters 1 to 2. We have tried to correct the evils of this world through medicine, education, legislation, and improved environment. It has not worked because the visible evils of the world are the results of an underlying spiritual cause. They cannot be corrected by natural means. To which kingdom do you belong? In the natural world, a king is the sovereign ruler of a kingdom. All the territory and people in the kingdom belong to him. He has the power of life and death over his subjects. The same is true in the spiritual world. You are either part of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. Either God or Satan has power over your life. One of the parables told by Jesus illustrates that all men are either part of the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of God. Jesus compared the world to a field. The good seed in the field are children of the kingdom of God. The bad seed, which resulted in the growth of tares or weeds, are children of the wicked one. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. People enter the kingdom of Satan through natural birth. The Bible teaches that all men are born in sin. This means that they have a basic sin nature, or the seed of sin within. Their natural inclination is to do evil. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalms 51, verse 5. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Because we are born with the basic sin nature, we have all at one time been part of the kingdom of Satan. All who remain sinners remain part of the kingdom of Satan. The whole message of God's written word, the Holy Bible, is the appeal to man to move from this evil kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. Men are born into the kingdom of Satan through natural birth. They must be reborn into the kingdom of God through spiritual birth. Entrance to the kingdom of God is by the new birth experience explained in John chapter 3. There are only two divisions in the invisible war. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." Luke chapter 11, verse 23. You cannot be neutral in this war. You are on one side or the other. Some believers, because of their fear of confrontation with the enemy, try to ignore the war and form a truce with the enemy. They think if they ignore Satan, he will not bother them. This is one of Satan's main strategies. He tries to render members of God's army immobile by his terror tactics. But there is no neutrality in this war. You are either a victim or victor. You will either be victorious in your soul and spirit, or you will be defeated, discouraged, and despondent. You will be either victorious in your physical body or weak and sickly. Which will it be? The spiritual call to arms is going out. Are you on the side of good or of evil? Are you part of Satan's kingdom or the kingdom of God? To which kingdom do you belong? Are you a victim or a victor in the invisible war?